about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And hello there, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh Radio program. And we are glad to have you back with us. And we're going to spend the next half hour today talking about the reality. God still speaks. Amen. We want to just make sure that we are listening to the right voices. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so let me tell you about someone that has been a blessing to our church in helping us take care of some things. And that is Dan with Coastal Image Landscapes. Their phone number, you can reach them at 321-208-2281. I think that gets you in touch with Dave, I believe is his name. 321-208-2281. They came out and did some landscaping for us. They trimmed a tree that was very, very happy, very ecstatic. They trimmed some other things, and they helped solve an irrigation issue, an irrigation system issue that we were having. For us personally, around our house, they've resodded our yard. They helped us with our irrigation system. They put in a new pump, a new primer, a self-priming system. I mean, they really did a lot. They did paver stones and cleaned up some of my landscaping around the front of my house as well. They are great, great folks. They do a great job. If I happen to be scrolling through Facebook and somebody asked me, you know, who do you recommend for landscaping? In fact, one of the listeners from the Refresh Radio program did just that, and I always tell them, Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281, and give them a call. If you are like me, you don't exactly have a green thumb, and you're tired of experimenting with your own limitations, and you want an expert to come out and help that. By the way, there are some of the workers that showed up at my house to do the project. I knew them from other churches that we had had some services with, and was watching one of their services online and saw the guy that works really hard was up there sharing in part of the service. They are great, great people, part of the body of Christ and a blessing. And so Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281. So, Jeremiah chapter 27, we were yesterday talking about people who were prophesying what the people wanted to hear, not necessarily what God wanted them to be told. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse number 12 says this, I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you, for I have not sent them, says the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. Now, let me just say this. Zedekiah must not have been a real strong personality, because he tended to listen to the multiple voices instead of the singular voice. You know, the masses are not always correct. The majority is not always correct. Would you have rather been Joshua and Caleb or the roughly 2.5 million by some estimates that said, nope, we're not going in? Joshua and Caleb said, oh, we can go in, no problem. Which side would you rather have been on? I'm going to choose Joshua and Caleb. So don't be afraid that if a person is not telling you the truth, whatever they're saying doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't be afraid to maintain your belief in the truth of God's Word. Here he said, they've got two problems. I haven't sent them, and they're prophesying in my name. So if you're going to be God's messenger, you need to be speaking God's message at God's time to the people that he sent you to speak to. So that's one of my challenges that I have with church growth seminars and things like that is, yes, what you did may have worked in that environment, but is that the same key, the key to your house, the same key that God has for this community? And it may not. It may not be. In fact, I'm pretty sure that if your neighbor's front door key was set exactly the same as the lock on your house, that would cause you to be a little bit uncomfortable. So I do know this. God has a key. He's got the key to every person's heart. He has the key to homes and communities. He's got keys to the hearts of the nation. And we need to be able to hear what that message is. So verse number 16 goes on, and it says this. Also, this is Jeremiah 27:16. Also, I spoke to the priests and to all this people, saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city be laid waste? But if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, do not go to Babylon. So there were people that were saying, you know, everything that's been carried off to Babylon, it is going to be brought back, and it's going to be brought back soon. By the way, I will tell you that our expectation when God speaks needs to be more than wishful thinking. When God speaks, it becomes confident expectation. Okay? I'm not hoping something good is going to happen. I'm believing that something good is going to happen. So there are things that have been prophesied to us years ago that I'm still clinging to, still expecting to be manifest, even though at this point in time, there is no visible evidence to go along with that. And so I will tell you this. Jeremiah nails his timeline. The other prophets miss their timeline. Whenever someone starts speaking about something that is going to happen in a specific timeline, I want to encourage you to proceed with extreme caution. And the reason that I say that is because God's math isn't the same as the world's math. And you say, well, how do you figure that? Well, God says, if you will honor me with my tithe, the first 10%, you know, the 90% that I entrust into your hands after that is going to go further than the 100% would have gone otherwise. He says, if you do this, you're going to see a 30, a 60, or a 100-fold return on what you give. That I like God's math. I really do. I also know from the book of Daniel that his timeline is different than our timeline, because he talks about a period of 70 weeks. a week being a 7-year period of time, and that timeline starts and it stops and it starts and it stops, and we don't really know when the last week is going to be fulfilled. You can see in some of the genealogies where it says the son of, whatever, it really means the descendant of, and it might not be a son. It might actually be a grandson. So those timelines, you have to be very, very careful about it. He says, this is the one thing that I can tell you. If they are prophets, they are, and if the word of the Lord is in them, let them make intercession of the Lord. In other words, they are not just going to be people who have a title. They are going to be people who pray. Okay? Make sure that you understand how important it is to stay in communication with the commander in chief. And so God is not sending mixed messages. He's not telling this prophet over here one thing and he's telling this prophet over here something different. He will be speaking to them the same thing. So through the years, whenever I have been praying and God would speak to me about a sermon series, a direction for the year, many times I would be going about my business, I would be studying, I would be preaching, and then all of a sudden I would hear someone else that, you know, might have a higher profile than what I've got, and they would be speaking a similar message. They would be talking about the same subject. And the thing that I've always found interesting was this. Whenever I was speaking a message, God made me live it. God made me live it. And so I didn't just get up and share a message. I would be walking through that journey where that particular truth was necessary to help me to navigate through that particular season. So I said, you know, at one point in time, I was like, God, since you're going to make me live every message, would you allow me to start preaching on a series on blessing? Because this church needs blessing. And at some point in time, God said, I want you to start preaching on blessing. And so I did. And just like I was telling you before, all of a sudden, a person that was easily recognized, had a very high-profile ministry, started preaching about blessing, and I was already well into the process, and it was like, well, I guess I don't need to write that book now because they're already doing that. So I want you to see that there's not discord in the heart of God. Whenever he's speaking, there's a unity, and so there also needs to be that serious time of intercession. If there's a word that God has dropped into your heart and it doesn't drive you to prayer, maybe you need to go back and hear what God has to say a little bit more. Verse number 19, for thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the carts, and concerning the remainder of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he carried away captive Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them, says the Lord. Then I will bring them up and restore them to this place. So Jeremiah in chapter 27 has said, look, I'm raising Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar up, and they're going to be a safe place for the nations of the world, to the point that I'm even entrusting the safekeeping of the vessels of worship in my temple are going to reside there. He said, but they're not going to stay there forever. I will bring them back and restore them to this place. Okay? Those vessels in Babylon, when they were used by the Nebuchadnezzar's descendant, his grandson, then it might have been his son. I don't really remember this early. But they brought them into their celebration, and they used the vessels of holy worship of the holy God for ungodly purposes. At that point in time, there was a hand that started writing on the wall, and it said, "You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and your kingdom is being given over to the Medes and the Persians." And that night the kingdom fell. So when God speaks, if there needs to be intercession made, okay? I don't see a lot of positive things happening spiritually here in America. I see some disturbing things on a societal level. And so one of the things that we are gearing up for at Merit Assembly of God is a season of prayer. In June 12th, we've got the director of our U.S. missions, who's a friend of mine. He's going to be preaching for us, and he's put together this prayer chart. He's calling the Assembly of God churches across America to pray on topic, that God would visit America for America's sake. I encourage you, if your prayer life could use a boost, get into the presence of God, and it will challenge you. So let me say one more thing about those timelines. Someone has told me that back in the 80s there was a book that said 87 reasons why Jesus is returning by 1987. And then the next year they said, whoops, I found an 88th reason why he's coming in 1988. And from what I understand, that person just kept moving the goalpost. And there were people who kept buying his books all the way up until just, a relatively few years ago, he died, and he was still selling a lot of books, and he had been wrong for a long, long time. I was reading an email. It was a group email, and finally one of the people that put that email out said the same thing that I said. It's like, look, all of our sources that have been telling us that such and such was going to happen any given minute, they were wrong. He said, when something happens, we'll come back and we will share. But for my own sake, I need to put some distance. And I was like, that is perfect sense right there. Now, let me take you back to Jeremiah chapter 28. And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place. and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of all the priests and in the presence of all the people and who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. So that's verse number 6. So there Jeremiah is. He says God's put a yoke for the nations to be yoked with the king of Babylon, and my utensils that are used for worship are going to be kept safe in Babylon for a season. And this guy by the name of Hananiah stands up and he says, within 2 years, the yoke with Babylon is going to be broken. All the utensils are going to be restored and all of the people are going to be brought back to Jerusalem. And those are some pretty wonderful messages. Those were the things that the people wanted to hear. 2 years is not forever. So there was some hope. There was some wishful thinking that went on. And like I told you, I think on yesterday, this was one of the sons of a prophet. And so he just gets up there and he prophesies, but his prophecy is designed to undermine the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is going to respond prophetically here. By the way, let me just say this. I was talking to one of the men of my church, and I'd had some people that had asked about prophecy and things like that, whether stuff like that happens at Marriage Assembly of God. You know, it depends on, you know, the day as to what gifts of the Spirit are in operation at Marriage Assembly of God. And one of my men said, you know, whenever I read God's book, whenever I read the Bible, God always speaks prophetically to me. He always calls me back into a deeper relationship with God. And so I will tell you, I am not one of these people that goes around and chases prophetic words. I've known a lot of people who do that. You know what I recommend? I recommend having a personal relationship with Jesus. And I believe that if God has a prophetic word for you, he is going to use that word as a word of confirmation of what he's speaking to you rather than a word of information or alteration to the course that you are already on. I've seen a lot of people's lives devastated because somebody got up and said something and it wasn't in line with God's word. I've known of situations where marriages were destroyed because of an incorrect prophetic message that came forth. And you know what? It had damaging effects, not just on one relationship, but on multiple relationships. And that sort of stuff gives the body of Christ a bad name. So Jeremiah hears what this prophet says, and he says, Amen. Amen. My Bible's got an exclamation point after that. You know, amen means so be it. You know, Jeremiah was like, you know what? So be it. I pray that you are right. He said, the Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied. You know what Jeremiah was saying? I hope you're right. I hope you're right. He wasn't looking for any harm to come to Hananiah. But listen, the people that know their God shall do great exploits. The people that know their God know his voice, know his direction. And he said, you know, amen. That sounds really, really good. This is not the battle of the prophets. You know, I want to see Jerusalem prosper. I want to see the captives set free. I want to see all of that. I want to see it done God's way in God's timing. And I hope you're right. One of the things that I've experienced as a pastor is sometimes when a person's world has become a storm, a Category 5 storm, and you have to go in and you have to start anchoring them back to the Word of God and bringing them back. If they don't receive that Word, you know, I can tell you this. There's been many times that I've said, okay, I want you to know from God's Word that what you're describing isn't going to work out well. But I pray that I'm wrong. I pray that I'm wrong. I pray your marriage survives. I pray your home survives. I pray that you thrive in your relationship with God. But you need to do it God's way, not man's way. And that can create some moments of intensity. I know people who have to be right. They have to be right. In other words, if you're having a disagreement with them, the disagreement will not end until you have said, okay, I was wrong, you were right. Okay? I want you to know that if you've got that type of personality or you know somebody that's got that type of personality, there needs to be a change of attitude very, very quickly if that relationship is going to thrive. Guys, if you've got to have your wife say, okay, you're right, you might not always be right. I hate to share that with you. I've got a saying in my life. I said, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, and I'm going to be wrong again. It's not that I'm trying to be wrong. I'm trying to be as right as I possibly can. But you know what I really want? I want to be the best man of God that I can be. I want to be the best husband that I can be, the best pastor that I can be, the best father I can be, and now the best grandfather I can be, and the best radio teacher that I can be. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Dreamt of staying on the mountain's high.
Jesus Christ.